Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. I want to encourage you to get your Bible and a notepad and a pen. We're getting ready to go into the Word of God. We're going to be teaching a message entitled, A Living Sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The only thing that's reasonable to God is holy. Let's go into the message now entitled, A Living Sacrifice.
Blessings can vary. You know, what blesses you may not bless me. You know, what blesses me may not bless you. Everybody have their priorities. The blessing that I wanted from God is to live holy, to be a righteous man, to be a man that pleased God in everything. And he gave it to me. Come on, hallelujah. He gave it to me. I wanted that more than anything in life. I remember I started out with a lot of preachers in my past. And, you know, they had the prosperity gospel going. And a lot of them grabbed hold to that. And you look around and they got all the prosperity. They got the big buildings. They got the nice cars. And nothing wrong with a big building or a nice car. Nothing wrong with any of that. But I remember starting out with them. And I said, I want righteousness. I got it. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. Hallelujah. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I met a preacher in town, an apostle, and the apostle went to the car and came back and said, the Lord said, bless the man of God with this. Anybody know what this is? A staff? Another name. A rod. And it represents that rod that Moses had. Moses was a shepherd. And you know, I had somebody give me a word. And they said, Apostle Lewis, you just don't know that you are doing more in this city than you realize, because you have stood for righteousness, and a lot of preachers one day going to appreciate you for your stand for righteousness. And I asked the Lord, I said, why you moved on that apostle's heart? Because he said, they are listening to you all over the city. And an apostle gave me this. So my righteous stand in God is going to cause a lot of preachers to become righteous again. Isn't that an honor? Come on, isn't that an honor? Hallelujah. That's the greatest honor. And the Lord been ministering to me. And, you know, I think about these people. And Muhammad Ali done crossed over to the other side. You know, and I admire them in a lot of ways. I don't know if he really met the Lord. I pray he did. It's too late to pray for him now, but I hope he did. And he made a stand for a lot of things in this world. You know, he stood against the government, you know, but now he done crossed over. And I can only wonder, where is he? You know, all these people who have made a mark in the earth, and not that I admire all these people I'm finna call, but I'm just saying, look at Prince done pass over to the other side. I ain't finna get no tribute to Prince. They got churches singing his song. I ain't singing his song. But my point in bringing him up is, you know, he had a name in this world. But what did it do for the kingdom? What does it matter now? That's what I'm saying. Y'all follow me? What does it matter now? When your life is over, what mark did you leave? Did you leave a mark for God or one for Satan? You know, Michael Jackson done passed over. Great as he was, but what did he leave? I want to leave a legacy of righteousness. Amen. Judy, I want to leave a legacy of righteousness. I want people to say he stood for righteousness. And I'm not going to compromise God's word. I'm not going to compromise living holy. I'm not going to compromise that everybody can do it that want it. If I got it, you can get it too. Now, if you don't get it, it's because you didn't go after it. Glory to God. Give God praise. He give God praise. Amen. And he blessed me with all that other stuff too. Amen. I haven't been broke in I don't know how long. I remember one year, I didn't have no money on me this morning. But I got an offer number. I got money now. I ain't have none on me this morning. But God has blessed me. We haven't been broke in years. Come on, I haven't had to look for a car in years. God has always blessed me with the material things I need, but that's not my passion. My passion is to please God. My passion is to live right. And I want to leave that legacy to the world. So I thank God for just using this ministry and using us to set a legacy for righteousness. And I'm telling every man, stand for righteousness. Stand for what pleases God. Make a difference in your home. Make a difference on your job. Make a difference in your society and in your generation. And that's the greatest legacy you can leave. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Isn't that amazing? An apostle gave me this. They listening to me. But I thank God for that. Amen. To God be the glory. I want you to get your Bibles turned to Romans chapter 12. Glory to God. Amen. All of us ought to consider, what do I want to leave as a legacy in this world? What is your greatest passion? If your greatest passion is to be a millionaire, to have stuff, you know, man, I want to do something for God. I want to make my mark for God. And you ought to think about that, because the bottom line is, this life is not forever. When you die, if you did nothing for God, you did nothing. So let your legacy be that of following God. I don't want a legacy, I just came to church. What's that? No, I did something for God in with my life. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a lot of teaching and preaching today that make you feel like can't nobody live like this. But I'm here to tell you and be a testimony, you can live an acceptable, perfect, and the good will of God every day of your life. You can live a perfect life before God. Amen. And if someone is not there, that ought to be your dream. That ought to be your hope. And if that's not your hope, your reason for God making you is in vain. Amen. Because if you don't have the passion to please God, you're missing something. You can live a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God all the days of your life. You can do that every single day. Now, I'm going to talk to you about a living sacrifice. I was thinking the other day, and I shared this Thursday. It's amazing to me how much mockery there is in the church and against the word of God and against the things of God. And Satan put these things in our mind. When I say our, I'm talking about the human race, the church. Satan is the one that make people come up with these things. You can talk about practice make perfect. And almost everybody have said that, and most people believe that. And if you've never said it, I know you've heard it. Practice make perfect. But just say, God make perfect. Nobody perfect. That's the first thing that'll come out of somebody's mouth. That's the first thing they'll think, and that's the first thing they'll say. Why you don't say that when you hear people say practice make perfect? You know why? Because Satan want to mock God. Now, practice can make perfect. But an almighty God can't make you perfect. Wow. Somebody said, wow. And if your mind going 100 miles an hour, nobody perfect. Well, you don't understand God. You just don't understand. Amen. And we are not talking about being a humanly perfect person where you don't make errors and mistakes. Because as long as you're human, you're going to make errors and mistakes. But errors and mistakes are not sin. You can still be a righteous, godly, perfect person in God. Yes. Amen. And that's what the Bible talking about. And believe it or not, that's the only sacrifice God will accept. God's not going to accept you offering him anything. I think I better say that again. God is not going to accept you offering him anything. You don't want nobody to offer you anything. How you think it's not an insult to God to offer him anything about your life? Just offer him the parts of your life that you can't handle. No, he wants all of it. And so if you're not going to give him all of it, keep all of it. Lord Jesus, I see this message going a totally different direction already. a living sacrifice. God wants a living sacrifice. And that living sacrifice have to be holy, acceptable unto God. A life that is not conformed, that is not like the world. I am so happy I am not like the world. I refuse to be like the world. I refuse to be the old Curtis Lewis. I got every right, and it's my choice every day of my life to either act out the way I used to act out or act out the way the Bible tells me to act out. And I make a choice in my daily life that I'm going to be what this Bible says. Amen. And you can be that, and that is the only sacrifice God is accepting. I'm telling y'all, we can keep offering stuff to God if we want to, but I promise you, he's not accepting it. I'm just telling you the truth. A living sacrifice, okay? The sacrificial system was permitted and instituted by God for his people for a season, okay? The sacrificial system. The offering of bulls and goats and turtle doves in the Old Testament, God allowed that for a season because a righteous God, a holy God, could not allow his creation to offend him and then just let it go. So what he did is he put in place a sacrificial system for his people that instead of God killing them, he would allow them to kill something else, an animal. In their place, per se, and their blood would be offered to him, and it didn't please him, but it appeased him. And I believe those two words are different, and I'm going to try to explain it to you. I don't want to just appease God. Do you know that if we're still living, that something has appeased God to keep you breathing? I don't want to live a life where I'm just appeasing him. You know, I want to live a life where I'm pleasing him. So this system for a season was sufficient because he set it in place, because at one time man couldn't help himself. The Bible says when we was all without strength, Christ died. None of us had the strength to offer anything to God that would be considered righteous, because the Bible said all of our righteousness at one time was as filthy rags. So it was nothing we could do. So when we was without strength, Christ came through the mercy of God, and he died for every one of us, and he sacrificed himself on the cross so that you and your sacrifices to God would be acceptable to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So he did that. He came, and he offered himself, and he put in another sacrificial system. But this time, the sacrificial system was yourself. You. God said, I don't want no more doves. I don't want no more trying to appease me. Hallelujah. I don't want to live in life just appeasing God. Glory to God. That word appease, listen to what these definitions I found that I kind of like. To appease. It means to bring to a state of peace. See, a holy God ain't going to just let things go. Okay. He want to let you go, and he want to show mercy upon you, but he got to do something about what you did. He ain't going to let it go, okay? So that sacrificial system that he had in place years ago would bring him to a state of peace, and he'll see the blood of bulls and goats, and he would just excuse sin. He'll let that blood cover their sins for a whole year. And then next year, the priest had to come back and do the same thing, and God would just see that blood and excuse people for their wrongdoing. Amen. But at some point, he wanted people to stop doing wrong. Glory to God. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You got gospels out here now that say he got on the cross, and now they preach the message cross, 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 cross. I love the cross because the cross on which Jesus died, according to Daniel 9:24, ended sin, brought in everlasting righteousness, anointed the holy place, amen, and it brought us all back to God. But there are people preaching the cross now, and y'all need to listen, anybody preaching the cross and talking about the blood of Jesus, but still will sit down on their panels and tell you can't nobody stop sinning, that's a blasphemous message. That ministry is blaspheming the word of God. Now, I'm stop pastoring Someone Cares Ministry. Now I'm pastoring the radio audience. I think this needs to stay over here. Amen. All of these preachers preaching and talking about the cross, the believing the blood, but yet they are set on their same television broadcast, set on the radio, and preach to multiple millions of people and tell them there is no such thing as sinless perfection. Nobody can stop sinning, and this is what they say. I am not picking on nobody. I am standing for righteousness in my city. I am standing for righteousness in the ministry. I am standing for righteousness in my home, and I'm going to live everything I say. And God needs some more people going to get them a stamp. If you don't got, you don't have one, make sure you walk on your job with an imaginator. Walk on your job with a staff in your hand. God needs some more people with a rod that's going to represent God. Let me finish my statement. Any ministry telling you you can't live without sin, that's a blasphemous ministry. Any ministry that pervert grace and say God don't punish sin no more, that this grace revolution lets you off with sin, that's a blasphemous ministry and a blasphemous preacher. And I had to stop in my message and get that out, because that's part of my ministry. Amen. So I hope y'all don't ever get tired of me working my ministry. If you get tired of me working my ministry, then I'm just not the shepherd. Amen. But if you can bear with me, I'm your shepherd. And I'm going to be an example to you. I'm going to love on you. But I still got to do my out of the house ministry. So I'm going to include that in every time the Holy Ghost let me. Amen. These blasphemous ministries need to shut down and shut up. Amen. The blood of Jesus is too precious to not cleanse you from all sin. Now, where was I? Okay. To bring to appease, to bring to a state of peace. To pacify. You know, when a baby crying and get aggravated, you have to give them a pacifier. They want that bottle, but the pacifier serves to appease them just until you get the bottle ready. See, this sacrificial system just appeased God. Okay? And it says it means to bring to a state of peace, to pacify, to soothe, and to calm down. Somebody had to calm God down because he was ready to destroy some things. God don't play. I'm telling you, God don't play. He's just good. He's just long-suffering. He just bear with us, but he don't play. And he love human beings so much, and that's why you still breathing. That's why you still here. Muhammad Ali, if he didn't meet him, he had plenty of time to meet him. Come on, if Michael Jackson didn't meet him, and he probably didn't, because you can't serve Satan all your life and die holy. You had plenty of time to meet him. You shook up the world. You shook up people. But did you shake up God? Hallelujah. My God, my God. My God, my God. No, it says to bring, to calm him down. Okay, now here's the word please. To please mean to cause pleasure and satisfaction. I want to cause pleasure. Do you all know that? Man, I'm so excited when I wake up on Monday, because after I get out of church on Sunday, then I know Monday starts what church taught me. I can't wait to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because I get an opportunity to go out and prove that I'm serious about this. Now, I know some people wake up with blue Mondays, terrible Tuesdays, wrecking Wednesdays, terrible Thursdays, foolish Fridays. But I wake up with marvelous Mondays, terrific Tuesdays, wonderful Wednesdays, thrilling Thursdays, fabulous Fridays, satisfied Saturdays. Come on now. Now, if you're not there, let that be your dream. Let that be your dream. Want that more than anything in life. And if you don't want that more than anything in life, you have an idol. And that anything that comes before pleasing an almighty God become an idol. Hallelujah. So it says to to cause pleasure and satisfaction. I don't want to just appease God. I want to cause him to be pleasured. I want to cause him to be satisfied. Glory to God. Now, Hebrews 10, verse 8. Put that up, Nisha. Hebrews 10 and verse 8. All right, watch this. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. Now, he was the one set it in place and said, I don't want this. What was he doing? He was allowing an appeasing system to be in place for a season until his son would come, offer his blood, and those that would receive him, truly receive him, not just say they accept him, but accept him with the evidence in your daily walk. And if the evidence of him in your daily is not in your daily walk, you really haven't accepted him. You mentally have believed in him. So he put this in place, but just for a season, till his son would come and do what he did and release his Holy Spirit in people's lives. And so you could move from appeasing God to pleasing God, to please him and to satisfy him. So it says above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure. He didn't have no pleasure in that at all. And it says therein, which are offered by the law, by that law of Moses. Okay, go to Matthew's 9:13. Hallelujah. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And the sacrificial system was the mercy of God. Because God, the Bible said, a soul that sinneth shall die. Well, why didn't, well, there were some people in the Old Testament, they was caught in sin, they stoned them to death. I'm saying they had to be on their toes. But why didn't he wipe the whole world out? He done wiped one out before. We know the history, if you believe the Bible, he done wiped the whole world out. So why didn't he wipe this world out? Because he said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. God has had mercy on us. And because of it, you know, there was times in my life God had mercy on me, because I haven't always been where I am, but I thank God I'm where I am now. But I didn't get there by stumbling upon it. I got there because of a passion in my heart that I don't want to appease him, I want to please him. And if that's not the primary thing in your heart, I'm telling you, there's an idol in your heart. If that's not your passion, that's not your daily goal, then there's an idol. And most people, idols are self, themselves. Because what appeases me is what I'm going to do at the moment. And so I'm telling you, that's an idol. The biggest idol in the church is self. Hallelujah. But he said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He said, I'm just waiting to show mercy. And Jesus came, showed mercy by dying for everybody. And then his blood wiped it all out. Glory to God. And now we don't need to offer bulls and goats and kill animals no more. His blood took care of that. That's why I always talk about them. Yeah, what I'm talking about, the doctrine now. I'm not talking about running somebody down. I'm not talking about hating on preachers or hating on churches. I hate them lying doctrine. I hate when you deceive people. And that's what I'm talking about. And so when Jesus came and did his thing, and now you got you still teaching people that you can't live a holy life. I'm scared of any preacher that say you can't live holy. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you can't live without no sin. I'm scared of any ministry and any preacher like that. If a preacher tell you that preacher telling you he got sin in his life. If a preacher get up and say can't nobody live 100% accurate from sin, that preacher just told you he got sin in his life. And why are you supporting him? Because you got sin in your life and you like what that preacher said. Hallelujah. But he said, go to learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If we're gonna make the right sacrifice to God, if you really want to be a living sacrifice, you got to repent. There got to be some true repentance. There's teaching right now in the public, and I'm telling you, somebody, no, I'm not lying. They packing out coliseums. I'm telling you, when heaven looked down, heaven will look down at a righteous church like this and see it greater than some of these big coliseums y'all looking at. Because these big coliseum preachers are preaching all over the country and saying, God, don't look at sin no more. And they teaching that you don't even have to repent no more. They teaching that your sins are forgiven past, present, and future. And multiple millions of people done bought that doctrine. Find that scripture in the Bible that God died for future sinning. Find it. It can't be found. Well, if it can't be found, why do people accept it? Because that sounds nice, that he died for my past, present, and future sinning. No, he did not. Now, his blood is powerful enough to kill, to destroy past, present, and future. His blood is powerful enough. But for any future sinning, the Bible says, if perhaps God grant you repentance. He don't have to grant you repentance for some future sin. If he do, that's his mercy. But there's no scripture that guarantee that he died and that he done offered you past, present, and future sinning. No. That if he, now, if people think that God died for my future sinning, don't you know folks on sin? Don't you know they're going to keep it in the back of their mind? God is so good, you know, he'll forgive me. People are going to go to hell behind that doctrine. So he said, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to do what he did, but he came to call sinners to repentance. Okay? Now, I got 3 points, and these are the points. Number one, first point, don't provoke the Almighty. And the second part of that point is stop provoking the Almighty. If you're provoking him, stop it. If you haven't, don't provoke him. Hallelujah. All right. Second point is seek the power of God to help you. Amen. Do you know it's the power of God that's in my life that caused me to do and live the way I live? But do you know it was my choice to yield to that power? That power not, you know, I know there's all kinds of teaching. God's doing it. God's this. But let me tell you something. Everybody that get to heaven got to heaven because they chose it. Name one person that got to heaven because the blood just swept them in. Come on. Name one person that got to heaven because God did everything for them and just pushed them in. Nobody go to heaven but those people who have chose to go. Because they got all kinds of scriptures preachers can take and hook up and pull together. And it's his righteousness. It's I'm trusting Christ's righteousness. Nobody get to heaven on Christ's ticket. If you get to heaven, you get to heaven as a result of Christ's ticket.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time. That's it for today. I thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to go to our website for more free teaching at www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. To call us, you can call at 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. Apostle Lewis said, we love you. Thank God for you. See you on the next broadcast.
Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus.